The news depresses me, and the radio preachers usually just make me mad. So, I got to thinking about the culture of that we live in today. You know, most of what I heard from the preacher was finding ways to justify divorce and remarriage in their church. And the news, all we hear about is violence. We hear about, there was two more shootings the other day that I heard about. Immorality, corruption. We know the situation our politics are in right now with the election and stuff. And now to think about it is God still with us? Has He completely forsaken us because of our country, I guess I should say. You know, in Isaiah 5:20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." You know, that is the definition of our culture today. The culture has accepted everything. Anything goes. And, you know, sadly, the church, and when I say the church, I don't necessarily mean our church, but the church as a whole, has done everything they can to blur the lines between Christianity and the world, to assimilate and to compromise our beliefs for the sake of being politically correct. You know, it's not just, you know, we as Mennonites aren't immune to that either. You know, that's something we have to be very careful about all the time. You know, it seems like the church, instead of trying to be a light to the world, a light in the darkness, we try to blend in. You know, light doesn't blend in very well with darkness. If there's light, there's usually not darkness, and you can't hide a light in the dark. If you go out at night, you can see a candle, just a little candle. You can see it burning for, I don't know, how far. It's a long ways. But then we wonder, you know, why does God not hear us? Why does God let this corruption, let this stuff go on? But the truth of the matter is that that it's not, God is not the one that's the problem. It's us. It's our culture. It's our society. And we are the light of our society. We need to be that light. Isaiah 59, I'm going to read a little bit out of here. Says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." Jump down to verse 10. It says, verse 1 through 4 is kind of the situation we're in today in our society. In verse 10, it says, We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. You know, there's confusion. There's chaos. Nobody knows which way is up. We don't know which way to go. Jump down to verse 12. It says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. in transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backwards, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Now in verse 15 says, he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. You know, if when we do stand up for truth, when we do, those who do trust in God and follow him have become a mockery in our society. You know, but we're not unique in the fact that we live in a culture of sin. You know, human nature hasn't changed. We're not the first ones to live in a situation like this. Think about Joseph. Think about Daniel, Jeremiah, and the early church. You know, all of them suffered an incredible amount of pressure and even persecution to conform to the world around them. Look at Joseph. He had everything possible go wrong in his life. He had all kinds of pressures to become like the culture he was living in, and yet he resisted that. Did he get discouraged? I'm sure he did. He was in the prison. His best friend it would have been his best friend. Totally forgets about him when he gets out. You know, but it says over and over in Joseph's life, in the story, it says God was with Joseph. God was with Joseph. And you have to wonder sometimes if Joseph wasn't like, okay, God, just leave me because everything's going wrong and you're still with me. Why can't you fix this? But we know that God used Joseph in a mighty way. Look at the early church. You know, the Roman culture was horrible. It was even worse than ours is today. Rampant immorality, violence. I mean, pitting gladiators together to fight to the death was, you know, the ultimate spectator sport. And the early church had tremendous pressure to conform. And yet they stood strong in that culture. So thinking about getting discouraged, is it okay to get discouraged? You know, I think it's natural. I don't think it's sin. Even John the Baptist got discouraged. If you look in Matthew 11, John the Baptist, having done all these great and mighty works and preaching and baptizing and preparing the way of God, he even saw Jesus face to face and said, this is him, this is him, this is the one you need to follow. But now he's in prison, and he's stuck there just waiting to get his head cut off. And, you know, I think he was discouraged. He even questioned whether Jesus was the Messiah. He sent two of his disciples, and Matthew 11 says, now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know, John was, in verse 11 says, Jesus talking about John says, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. You know, here's the greatest that was born to women, and he's discouraged. He's questioning whether Jesus is truly Lord. But Jesus says, look at what I'm doing. Look at what I've done. I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. I'm healing the sick. I'm raising the dead. You know, sometimes we get discouraged. Our faith gets shaken because of what's around us, what we see daily, what we're bombarded with. And Jesus says the same thing to us. You know, look at what I've done. Look at who I am. We can take comfort in that fact. In Romans 8, very familiar passage, but it's really a really beautiful passage. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against it? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we have a promise that if we stay faithful to Christ, if we honor God with our lives, he's going to be with us. No matter what the situation, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what is happening around us, God is still going to be with us. He's going to take care of us. And like Joseph, he's going to work a great work through us. All we need to do is have faith in him and to stay true to that, to honor him in our lives. That's all I have. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that we still have the freedom to worship you, to get together like this, and to praise your name and glorify you. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for our salvation. Lord, I just ask that you would help us to not get discouraged and help us to live our lives as a light in a dark world. Help us not not conform, but to honor you with our lives, in our hearts, and to seek you above all else. Lord, I just ask you would be with us through this service. Those who take part, I pray that you would give them the words to speak. Guide us and keep us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.